All right, so we can do a little sharing here. It won't be anything really new, but as I've been praying here for the last week or so on fellowship stuff, there's a few things, and it's kind of neat how things kind of worked out here together. But this is nothing new, but it's a refresher that I think is very important, and especially with a group of people that I had been meeting with that I just see so much misinformation, and it was frustrating. And I've been listening to some of the teachings there on the podcast and going through there just randomly. It was kind of neat. I was listening to one, and it was one that I had missed while I was during AEP. And so I was kind of catching up on them, and it was like going, man, this is perfect. And it was about the slanderer, the adversary, and what takes place. And so I think to myself, man, if somebody wants to hurt you, if somebody wants to hurt you, what is the most hurtful thing they could do to you? Would be your girls.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm like, oh yeah. So here's Yahweh with his kids. Okay? The adversary is absolutely against Yahweh. But what's the most hurtful thing he can do? Is destroy the relationship and destroy the lives of Yahweh's kids. And I think to myself, oh yeah, so who are we to be fooled that the misinformation, the slandering, the deception is on all levels. I mean, from basic all the way up to the top, and different levels where you partial mixing of truths and putting things together. I think about that. One of the dilemmas I had with this group that I was going with is this teaching that they were doing is all about this vision that this guy had, and he wrote this book. And so I read it. It's just a little pamphlet book, and I read it, and I'm just like going, you know, because someone has a vision does not mean that it's from Yahweh. Okay? Muhammad had a vision. Joseph Smith had a vision. You hear about other people that have, you know, that write these Christian books, you know, that have what their vision, what they saw. And I'm like, do I have any doubt that they had a vision? Absolutely not. I absolutely have a doubt that it's from Yahweh because it goes against his word, and it cannot do that. And so I think to myself is, you know, a deception that comes in there where people are like, well, all of a sudden a person had a vision, so untouchable. This is a vision. It came from this, and I'm like going, but it's against, like, it does not match up with the word. And so there cannot be. And I think about that, how the adversary will mix the words of Yahweh to cause confusion. You know, and so, yeah, absolutely. And so as we go through, this is to help break through some of the cluster, the confusion that the adversary tries to hold us into. Because the adversary, it always boggles my mind how you could have a group of people who worship the adversary. I mean, it'd be like some people who are worshiping wild lions and they're going to go live amongst them. Yeah. Do you think these lions care about you? You are food, okay? And you're slow moving food. You are the easiest pick out of it. And here's people doing this. And I'm like going, adversaries there to destroy relationships, destroy, hold you in captivity, and how whatever means works, they'll use. And so as we're going through this here, it was one of those things to always think about that. How have I been deceived? How have I missed it? How have I mixed things? Or am I? Are those things there where I can look through? Can always go back. They got a standard to go to. What does the word say? And everything else has to line up. So I like this one here with Winston Churchill. Continuous effort is the key to unlocking your potential. And one of the things with teaching that I love is as I go through some of the things that I prepare it'll be a learning experience for me as I'm going through and reading stuff, the preparation you go through with it. And I always laugh because of the Wayne Gretzky one. You know, I love his quote that you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when it comes to somebody being healed, if you got 1 out of 100, pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Not a bad start. And so as we're going through here, this is kind of what we're going to be looking at and talking about. So let's start off in 1 Corinthians 2. Verses 1 through 5. And I will read it to start with. Page 166. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I therefore, brethren, when I came unto you, came not in excellency of discourse or wisdom, declaring unto you the mystery of Yahweh, for I had not determined to know anything among you save Yahushua Mashiach, and him as one who had been crucified. I therefore, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, came to be with you. And my discourse and what I proclaimed were not in suasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power, in order that your faith might not be in men's wisdom, but in Yahweh's power. Okay? And that's it. That's where we see that. So I love that he's telling me. He goes, look, I didn't come here to debate you and be eloquent. I came here to show you power. And I think to myself, what better way to witness something than to see the power? Boy, it's you really get a quick taste of it, what's going on with that. And so that's what he's saying. He's saying to show the wisdom, show the power, and demonstrate it, to demonstrate that. So I always love these unmotivational posters. Okay? And I'm like going, it's so funny because I'm like going, you know, it made me laugh because, again, when I was in the military, they spent so much money lining these up and down the halls. I'm like going, whose bright idea was this? You know, teamwork, and shows all these guys rowing and stuff. So we used to laugh, you know, and we'd make little statements and tape things to them, you know, kind of joke. So I kind of always laughed at them. But, yeah, this is, when we're looking at it to be motivated, what is motivating us? And I would think to myself, yeah, there's a lot of people who do see spirit and power, and to be motivated by it, to elevate them. You know, when you talk about the healings, when you see somebody healed, boy, it energizes something within you. It gets that spark going to where the next person, it's almost like a domino effect that, hey, if I just saw this, you know, what's next? What else? I can too. And it gives you a jump start on believing. So as we go through and we look at them, some of the breakdowns that I kind of want to go over, because this was a big discussion that I just had here over the last couple of weeks with this group, is the truth versus the traditions, okay? Especially when it comes to healings and people receiving from Yahweh, okay? And so the tradition is God willing, you know? And I've heard that so many times. God willing, I don't get run over by a combine today. Yeah. You're like going, wow, you know? But this is it. And so what does that mean? It means that you're just along for the ride. You are the ant just living amongst, and what happens, happens. And you have zero control, zero input, no sway to it whatsoever. You are just along for the ride. And the Christians, that's a really easy way to do it. Hey, if this happens, it was obviously God's will for it to happen. Yeah. And I'm like going, but that is not scriptural. That's not correct. And so when we look at it, the truth is Yahweh is willing. Yahweh is willing, and Yahweh wants these things. There's tons of scriptures of that, and it has to be taken. So the problem was, is there's a handful of scriptures that are taken out, and that's what everybody hangs on to. Yeah. And I was thinking about that with the book of John. You literally have, you know, maybe the first eight, nine verses of the book of John changes the entire Bible. Yeah. Everything else changed because of that. And everything has to be now refigured into it. And so I always thought about that, you know, the little thing with the shapes, you know, for kids, and they'd have to put the square peg and the round on the round peg. Well, Christians have created a new one by jamming stuff into a new hole, and then everything now has to fit into that. So instead of looking at it and go, okay, this one doesn't fit quite right, but all the rest of the stuff fits, you make everything fit into that one, and everything else now has to fit around that versus the other. And so there's problems with it. And so the problem is that people have been raised with this, and this is the stuff that's hanging on to that gets repeated, and gets just continually distributed over generations of the same garbage that's not correct. Not, I don't believe that the people are doing it to be malicious, but again, if you're spreading deceit, whether you're doing it willfully or unwillfully, knowingly or unknowingly, you're still spreading deceit. And so that's where, you know, I've had some pretty good discussions with this as far as going over this. In Matthew, and we won't go to this first one, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be lifted up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he speaketh come to pass, it shall be his. And so this is one of the scriptures I used as we were discussing this. And one of the things is that I focus on is the sharing that I'm doing tonight is faith in action. Okay? Faith without being in action is just stored up. It's a battery. It's not being used. Okay? A battery has power. It has potential. But until you start tapping into that power, it's just a battery. It does nothing. It does absolutely nothing. And faith without those actions is the same thing. And that's what we're looking at. So when we're doing this, to say, okay, to say to it, these things are action things. So here's a neat little, very simplistic. But I was, as I was putting this together, I was thinking about it and praying about it, and it brought to me, you know, the sense of power tools. You know, and I thought of a drill, an electric drill. Okay, and I could throw an electric drill out here on the floor, and all it is a paperweight. Okay, it does nothing. It's not going to drill a hole. It's not going to do anything until it's been energized. It has to be energized. And so you see this here as you're looking at this. This is just a simplicity of a nuclear reactor. And so you have the control rods here, okay? You have the nuclear fuel here. You have water that comes in, steam that comes out, and it turns this turbine, okay? Without the water, this will blow up. It will overheat. Okay, it is the water, and I think of the steam as like the faith. Okay, you can have the nuclear power there, but it does nothing. It's not channeled. It's not channeled into being used. And when you channel it into being used by turning the water into steam, that steam has a lot of force. And what it does is it gets the thing moving. It gets things moving. Now the generator starts spinning, and here you have the power lines. Now power is there. Okay, power's there. But until I plug that drill in, it's still just laying there and it's not going to do anything. And I see that so much with the Christian body that, yep, we believe it, it's here, never been used, never probably will be used, and it's like it's time to plug it in and start exercising it and start using it. Figure out what it is. Hey, plug it in. Hey, what does this thing do? Okay, let's start working it. And that's where I look at it, where the Christians, I think for us, I believe all know this very well, but for one of the things we go through, there's, I'm hoping that other people will hear this as well and also be able to help us to explain things to people a little bit on as getting things in action. Nobody thinks that they have the power. And why? You go to a church, and the church, you see the head pastor, okay? Very seldom in a church shows power. Okay, very seldom. Honestly, I can only think of a couple churches. One of them that we went to was Abundant Life. There's a guy prophesied right in the middle of church. I mean, it was the coolest thing. All of a sudden, words come to him, revelation comes to him, and he speaks it to somebody in the church right in the middle of his sermon. And I'm just like going, hallelujah. Yeah. I mean, he heard it. The guy was waiting for it. There was no preparation. It just came. You don't see that. It doesn't happen. And so what happens if you go up, are you stepping over somebody's heels? This is the head pastor. He doesn't do that. Who the hell am I to think I can do that? Yeah. And that's what's kept. We're like a group of sheep that are following the blind sheep that's not doing anything. And to pull away, you know, still the churches are fine if that's what somebody needs to do, but to bring out the power that is available. All right, so let's start here with the praying and or delivering. Okay, so one of the things that you hear all the time is, it's prayer ministry, prayer ministry, prayer ministry, prayer ministry. You pray over everything. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong on that. Okay? But that's what I would say would be a lot of times as an entry level, the prayer. There's power in prayer. There's absolutely power in prayer. But the prayer is not where it should stop. It should not stop there. You pray about things, and a lot of times while you're praying, that's where the wisdom comes, is that's where we're getting the additional information. And so when we're running into people, say, well, I'll pray for you. A lot of times I think to myself, I will too, and I'm going to see one more than that. I'm going to speak to this, and we're going to speak to this issue right now and do that. And so the praying and delivering, we're going to kind of look at all of them. So to start with, faith is paramount. When we're striving towards teleos, what is teleos? It's the full grown. That's right. The perfect. And so when we're striving for this, this is what we're trying to get to. And faith is the start of that. So anybody can pray. You can take an infant child who can barely speak and they can pray. Okay? And that's perfect. It's the bedrock. We start working this. We start learning how to do these things, but it's not where it should stop. It's the same way that a child is on milk. But as an adult, are you still on milk? Is that what you're surviving off of? Or have you moved up? And so this is that move up kind of a call. Prayers for starters, ready for additional actions. So flip over to James here to the right. I didn't mark the pages here for you guys. So whoever gets to it here, James 5 is going to be on about 238, 237. Looks like page 238. And if somebody would read 14 through 18 for me, please.
I will. Sick as any among you, let him call unto him the elders of the assembly. Let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of our Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the exhausted one, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Be openly confessing, therefore, one to another your sins, and be praying in each other's behalf, that ye may be healed. Much availeth the supplication of a righteous man when it is energized. Elijah was a man affected like us, and he earnestly prayed that there might be no moisture, and there was no moisture on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And again he prayed, and the heaven gave rain, and the land shot up her fruit.
That's it. And so again, what do we know? That if you are praying and you believe what you're praying has come to pass, okay, then what's it say? It will take place. It will happen. And so, yeah, their prayer is outstanding. It's good. Okay, it's not a one-stop shop where everything ceases there. Somebody's sick now. Okay, so all of a sudden there's a crisis. Okay, well, I'll pray for you. That's great. But it may call for more than that. Okay, and a lot of times it calls for more than that. And even with this here, we're talking about energizing. Okay, and that's it, the energizing of the power that we have. So the faith actions, as we kind of look through these, I just wrote down just a few quick ones that came to mind. Okay, Moses did what? He stretched forth his hand over the sea. Remember also the battle where they held the prophet's hands up? Okay. That wasn't a prayer. That was not a prayer. That was action.
Amen.
And if the hands came down, it was done. Okay? And so this is actions. Now you look at that and you're like going, what a weird thing. Yeah, I think it's also weird to make mud and stick in somebody's eye to bring an eyesight back.
Yeah.
Or to make a person swim in this place 7 times to clean them from leprosy. Okay? But guess what? This is faith in action. And this is what it is. And it's not praying for it to be done. It's action to go do these. Okay? And maybe through the prayer, Yahweh can give you that information. Maybe through the prayer, there is the healing that can be done too. But it's not a stop at that point that, okay, I pray, I'm all done. No, we're not thrown in yet. So another one, Moses struck the rock. Okay, he didn't pray for water. He hit the rock. And what came out? The water came out to water a lot of people in the desert. I mean, these are actions that took place. Crossing the Jordan. It was prophesied what would happen. When would it happen? That's exactly right. When they stepped into it. When they stepped into it. You know, when we're persecuted, when we're called in under Christ's name, what does it say? The speech and everything will be emailed to you the day before so you can rehearse it.
Yeah,
no! In that hour. And so when we too, it's my nature to be prepared before I go in. Okay, what am I going to say? Put my notes, put all my thoughts together, and I'm like going, probably not a good idea. You know what? Because I'm just going to, this is you, Yahweh. We're going in this together. Christ, through me, speak, and I will speak what you say. And this is where we do that. We're walking in faith. And the faith will go past the prayer sometimes. Okay, and that's what we're looking at. Elisha, okay, I told a group of 7 Christians, not a single one of them ever heard that story. Not a single one. Heard the story. They all looked at me like, what am I talking about? What am I talking about? And I'm like going, well, it's back here in the Old Testament, okay? It's in your Bible. You guys do have that, right? Okay? It's worth reading, but this is, yeah, we're talking about this. And I'm like going, so, who cares about an axe head? For crying out loud, it's a piece of metal that came off of the axe handle, okay? But it was borrowed, okay? And it was something that troubled the person. And what did he do? He went and told him. And guess what he did? Took a stick. Where did the axe head fall? And he showed him where the proximity was, and he threw it on, and the axe head swam. Okay? For crying out loud, if somebody, and it's one of my faults as well. I lost a tool. I'm going to have to go buy a new one. And I'm like going, at the same point, my first thought should be, just pray about this and figure out where this is. Let's do that first. Because yeah, I can, alright, I got the means, I can buy a new one, it's not a big deal. But this is where I look at this. This isn't a healing. Swimming in axe head's not a healing. That's a pretty trivial piece of equipment. And yet, It's written. It's written in here for us to glean. And why? Because it's power. Prior to this, I think to myself, Christ read this. I'm like going, who's heavier? Me or the axe head? Okay? Oh, it swam. Guess what? This is available. And so it wasn't, the guy goes, grabs it, and here it is. Here's the axe head. Pull it out of the water. You know, bizarre stuff. And I'm like going, yes. Action. Yehoshua rebuking the storm, okay, said, hush, be still. Hush, be still, okay? Storm heard him because he was speaking in action. Yehoshua, I think all the healings, casting out the unclean spirits, the teaching that we had years ago about how it was casting out the spirits of Legion and over again. Calling out. It wasn't a one-time thing. It was over and over and over again to do this, to be getting this done and taking care of this. And it wasn't praying for it. Well, I'm comfortable here in my house. I'll just stay where I am and I'll just say a prayer for him. This was faith in action to go do. And so again, that's where we're looking at. That's the teleos. That's the faith. Okay. For me to pray, how much faith do I exert for praying?
I exert a lot because I speak in tongues when it's...
I do too. And that is another step on top of that. It absolutely is because we're doing that. But when I'm praying, part of it is to get information of what I need to be doing. Mm-hmm. But while I'm praying, I'm like going, hey, person needs it. I'm going to pray for it. And these things can be done. And I pray for things that we're commanded to pray for. Okay? And I do this every day. All of us do. And we go through to do these things. But beyond that, it takes more faith to me to stand out. To go deliver. To go speak.
Yeah.
I'm going to go speak this. Aaron, you're great at it. Right in the gym where you just go and give somebody prophecy. Teach them how to speak in tongues right there. Like, going, that's awesome. That's awesome. Instead of just like, well, I'll say a prayer for you tonight. And the person, all right, thanks, appreciate it, and is gone. Or what you do. Okay? What you do. Where you go and you speak to them, and the person hears from Yahweh. Holy cow! That's faith being moved. That's power. That's power that's being moved. Okay, so as you think through those, I've taught this before, but over and over again throughout the Old Testament, Yahweh reminded the Israelites of what he did for them in Egypt. And why?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, why did he do that? So why is because it's important that we keep telling these things, that we keep sharing these things, that we keep speaking these things. It should be repetitive for us to speak about the healings that Christ did, the healings in our life, the things that have been done for us, and we speak about these all the time because it's happened to me where I was recounting and a couple things that were healings or miraculous things that took place, I'd forgotten about. And I'm like going, oh my gosh, I talked to other people and I said, can you tell me about the healings that's happened in your life? Haven't had any. To a Christian. I'm thinking to myself, man, we could write a book. Yeah. We could write a book of all this stuff. And so it should be right on the tip of our tongues. Hey, this is what we have. Okay, so let's go to 1 Kings. Thank you. King 17, and then once I get there, somebody would read for me. 17 through 24 of 17, give me just a second. Almost there.
Page number.
Huh?
Page number.
373.
Thank you. I think somebody said that and I didn't hear it.
73.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, so somebody would read 17 through 24 for me, please.
And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, owner of the house, fell sick. Yea. It came to pass that his sickness was very severe until no breath was left in him. Then said she unto Elijah, what have I in common with thee, O man of Elohim? Hast thou come unto me to call to remembrance mine iniquity and to cause the death of my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him unto the upper room where he was staying, and laid him upon his own bed. Then cried he unto Yahweh, and said, O Yahweh, my Elohim, even upon the widow with whom I am sojourning hast thou brought misfortune, by causing the death of her son. And he stretched himself out upon the boy three times, and cried unto Yahweh, and said, O Yahweh, my Elohim, let the life of this boy, I pray thee, come again within him. And Yahweh hearkened unto the voice of Elijah, and the life of the boy came again within him, and he lived. Then Elijah took the boy and carried him down out of the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said unto Elijah, "Now then I know that a man of Elohim thou art, and that the word of Yahweh is in thy mouth of a truth."
That's it. And so even in, like in our fellowships, when we minister Spirit, Holy Spirit, and we prophesy, and the things are in there, every single time there's something that this is not normal with a church or group of people. And so to us, when somebody hits something right on the head, it's not like, oh my gosh, yeah, we're kind of expecting that. We're already, yeah, we know.
Yeah.
We know. And we don't look at a child and think, well, the child can't do this because they're not seasoned. Okay? If a child knows the word and they're speaking out, their words are going to be outstanding. And so I love that. That's one of the things that separates us from some of the other groups and other people. Is that, yeah, we're prepared, the Spirit, to be able to minister that power and show that power. All right, let's do it. Let's go do it. And we're looking for the opportunity versus where other people think that it's not even there. And that's awesome. That's a great thing. So let's flip over here to Matthew here. I got a couple other here we want to read. Matthew 21. Okay, 21:18 through 22. I'll read this here. "And early returning into the city, he hungered," Christ, "and he seeing the one fig tree by the way, he came up to it, and nothing found thereon save the leaves only. And he saith unto it, No more from thee let fruit spring forth unto time's age abiding. And the fig tree instantly withered away. And the disciples seeing it marveled, saying, How instantly did the fig tree wither away? And Yehoshua answering said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only is this fig tree, not only this of the fig tree shall ye do, but even if unto the mountain ye shall say, Be lifted up and be cast in the sea, and it shall be done." And again, I think about that. Fig tree dying. Okay, big deal. Big deal. But what did it do for the people who saw that? And what did it do for them? Yeah. Again, the people who saw the accident swimming. Big deal. Big deal. Yeah, very big deal. That power is something that's unusual that came about. And so, yeah, this inspired, this sparks. And so you think about this as they look at that, and then Christ tells them that you will do these things. That you will do these things, and that's what he's telling us to do. We can do these things as well. Flip over to Acts 3.
I was like, is he near?
Yeah, it does. Acts 3, 1 through 8. Would somebody volunteer for me to read that?
No.
And Peter and John were going up into the temple for the hour of prayer, the ninth. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they used to lay daily at the door of the temple, the door called Beautiful, and he might ask alms of them who were entering the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to enter into the temple was requesting to receive an alms. But Peter, looking steadfastly at him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, the same unto thee do I give. In the name of Yahushua Christ of the Nazarene, walk. And laying hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, and instantly were his feet and ankles strengthened. And leaping forward, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Yahweh.
That's it. So as we go through here, we're going to kind of transition a little bit on this. So how many times have you been somewhere and you see somebody who's in a mangled state, and your heart goes out to them, and you're just like going, man, do I need to heal them? Do I need to do something for them? Because it happens. I think most people would look at that, and they feel pity. They feel something for that person. Okay, and I did a teaching, and I had forgotten about this teaching until I was reading through this scripture again. Did a teaching about this. When you look in here, and but Peter looking steadfastly at him. Okay, these are important. The steadfastly, he was looking at him with discernment. This was not just look at him feeling pity. Peter said looking steadfastly. If you look that up, it's for discernment to see what to do. What to do steadfastly. And then he said to him, look on us to see the same thing. And that's where you see this, where it's something different. And so for us, when we're in a place and we're having those thoughts, that there's, now this is a great time to pray. Is there anything I need to do? Is there anything I need to do? Because this is something that is troubling. Okay? This was not that long ago, this last year. It's a thing in the BBC that a person who was blind wrote this article. Stop trying to heal me. Stop trying to heal me. Like many disabled people, I'm often approached by Christians who want to pray for me to be healed. While they may be well-intentioned, these encounters often leave me feeling judged as faulty and in need of repair. So I set out to discover what Christianity has to offer disabled people beyond promises of miracle cures. Okay? I didn't put the whole article, but I did grab a couple excerpts from this. Okay? Here's a few of them. From time to time, without warning or encouragement, I get approached in the street by Christians who tell me they want to pray for me to get my sight back. Oh, these awful Christians! What are they doing? Okay? Since I became blind as a teenager, this has been a regular yet annoying byproduct of being an independent, disabled person who can walk about on the street.
BBC said that?
This is it. Yeah, this is a guy BBC, who wrote
no
for
way.
BBC. Yeah. Okay, and so here's a pastor.
Yeah.
Okay, oh. Reverend Zoe. Okay, blah blah blah. Is a part-time wheelchair user who lives in chronic pain. She had her own encounters with strangers offering healing prayer, and says she finds this approach can be spiritually abusive. I've been in situations where I've been talking to other wheelchair user in church, and somebody was so determined to pray for us, and we just kept ignoring them because we were in the middle of a conversation. In the end, he just put his arms on both of our shoulders and just prayed. It was really annoying and very disempowering. I was furious. Okay? And I think to myself, you know, again, kudos to the person doing it. Because I think their heart's in the right spot. And it's one of those things. They took a shot.
Yeah.
They missed, but they took the shot. But the difference is the discernment. Right. The discernment. Would you not think, can you imagine a pastor telling you that that's just spiritually abusive? Okay, and that was really troubling, that it's disempowering. I was furious over that. I'm like going, what are you leading your church into? What are you doing? Okay, but this is what you see, and this is where people are, a lot of them. There was obviously no welfare state. So now we're talking about the healings that Christ did. And why did Christ heal these people? Well, Christ healed them because there was obviously no welfare state. So, welfare state is a replacement of Christ. Okay? Because we don't need Christ if we have a welfare state. Everybody's taken care of. That's what it was referring to. Okay? There's obviously no welfare state back in Christ's time. So you've been begging on the side of the road. Your life condition would have been perfectly terrible. And I think pity from Yehoshua in this context is probably a lot about the sense of exclusion, the sense of destitution that he saw. Okay? And then the last cut of it for it was, so if Jesus met me today, empowering as I am with my job and my guide dog, would he still think I need healing? I'd say absolutely not. Okay?
Right.
Absolutely not.
Okay? Your heart.
Yep. You enjoy that. And what happens if your dog keels over while you're out in the middle of somewhere? You're on your own. Okay? Okay? Call your welfare state. But the point is,
right?
Okay, and then this other woman here, she wrote one because she has issues as well, and her name's Lindahl. Lindahl is skeptical. If Jesus was walking the streets now, she says, I don't know if he would be healing in the same way. I don't think Jesus would look at you and think, there's somebody who needs pity. Okay? And so I think about that. These are people who wrote this that were all handicapped people. And so even though what we see, remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's one of those things where I see somebody and I immediately want to go out to them. Mm-hmm. And I think to myself, oh, and guess what? Pray about your... you know what? Get mad at me if I do. And go away from me. I'm perfectly content. But the people are like going, we're capable. We don't need help. We don't need this. We don't want it. And I'm like, well, then you won't get it. And then it brings me right back to me. Okay, with me. And I'm like, well, I'm not in a wheelchair. But what about me? What about the stuff with me? Where am I at? Am I that way? Am I going around that way? Let's flip over to Isaiah real quick.
So they're handicapping themselves twice?
Yeah. Yep. They don't want it. They don't want the... Somebody call out a page number once you get to it here.
697.
Sorry. Closer, 684. 697, you said? 698. Okay. So will somebody read 53, 4, and 5 for me?
May I read?
Mm-hmm. Yet surely our sicknesses he carried, and as for our pain, he bare the burden of them. But we have accounted him stricken, smitten of Yahweh, Elohim, and humbled. Yet he was pierced for transgressions that were ours, was crushed for iniquities that were ours. The chastisement for our well-being was upon him. And by his stripes, there is healing for us.
That's exactly it. And so there is healing for us. Okay? It is, I think of it as a well. Okay? A well of the water. And some people are walked by, don't need it, don't want it. I'm perfectly okay on my own. I don't need it. And that's where a lot of people look at Christianity. I don't need it. What do I need Christianity for? I live a good life. I'm fine. Everything's good. I've got a good paying job. Christianity is for weak people. Okay? And this is a mentality that we see. And you go across Europe. I mean, all the travel that I did around the world. Holy cow. You go to Europe and it was just like few and far between where you'd run into such things, you know, where somebody would just like a Christian organization that would just be an outright here we are here to help. They just, nobody cared. It was more of a, well, we go there every now and then. We don't really care what they say. Nobody lives by it. Where I see here in the United States, we're like almost like a last refuge in a lot of places where we do. And we are very wealthy. Okay, we are a wealthy country, and yet we're a Christian nation. Boy, those two go together really, really well. Yahweh blesses those things. But Christ read that in Isaiah. Now let's flip over to 1 Peter, 1 Peter. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 2.
The third world country is in a different story.
Yeah. Peter, okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Okay, chapter 2, verse 24. Who our sins himself bear up in his body unto the tree, in order that we, from our sins getting away, in righteousness might live, by whose stripes ye have been healed. Okay, now, it's done. It's done. Mm-hmm. Whether we take it or grasp hold of that is up to us, but it's done. It's already done. And so, you know, it's been paid for. We can't pay for it again. It's available. Grab it. It's the power on the end of the line. Okay? It's there. If you want it, you can grab it. If you don't, then don't. Okay? But it's available. It's ready for us. So when we run into problems, because see, this is always the dilemma. You share your testimony, you share it with somebody about something miraculous that happened to you, and then they'll remind you of, well, why didn't this person get that? Or why didn't this? Okay, or, you know, the horrible thing of a child dying prematurely of some horrible disease, dealing with somebody that didn't get healed. Okay? And we have to be able to respond to these things and to be able to show what's taking place, what's happening. This is not, it's very easy now when, well, God, you know, he has a plan. This must have been what he wanted. You know, and well, why? What happened? What was the shortcomings for that? What took place? Where was something lacking? Where was something, you know, it happens. It does. We see it. But when we're looking at it, Christianity or the healing that's available, it seems to be the last option versus the first option. So in everything else, you know, you get that terminal condition that can't be healed. Doctor says, hey, you got 6 months to live. Okay, now we turn to Christ. Now it's his turn. Let's see what he can do in this fight. Okay? And it should never be that way. It should be the exact opposite way that we do it. And we're, I think everybody fights with this. They like going, no, first thing I come to Christ. If the power that's in us, of the Spirit, can raise a silly axe head. Okay? Does Yahweh want you healed from your illness? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Healing's not a lottery where one person gets it and the next doesn't. Okay? Yeah. It's available. It's absolutely available to everybody. And this is one that I deal with, throwing in the towel. The acceptance that I can live with it. That's not that bad yet, you know? Been dealing with the shoulder issue here for a couple weeks. And it's like going, yeah, it causes me problems when I'm sleeping. But I'm okay. I can deal with it. I've been fighting it, been speaking against it, but it's that type of thing, the acceptance. Well, when does it not become acceptance? When it's life-threatening?
Yeah.
And that's where we have to look at it, that Yahweh's there for everything. We have the power to heal from the smallest to the greatest. It's all available. Okay, so let's go flip over here to Romans. Romans 12. Verses 1 through 2, and if somebody would read that for me, please.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, through the compassions of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living, holy sacrifice unto Yahweh, acceptable for your rational, divine service. And be not configuring yourselves unto this age, but be transforming yourselves by the renewing of your mind, to the end you may be proving what is the thing will by Yahweh, the good and acceptable and perfect.
Again, the proving, the discernment, to the end may be discerning what is the thing willed by Yahweh. We are going to come across things where we want to do it. Our body tells us, what our sight tells us, what our senses tells us. And don't do it. Don't do it. Okay? And then there may be somebody else who looks like everything's going perfectly normal. I read that same book that you were born for this. And a lot of those stories in there, those people, they looked like they were perfectly normal. And yet those were the ones that Yahweh was calling him to reach out to. And I thought that was unusual. I'm like going, well, it's not at all what my eyes show me, that these people need it. And yet those people didn't want it.
Yeah.
They didn't want it. And so at the same point, that's where we're proving, discerning, what's the will, to renew our mind and not be part of this present day where healings seem to be rare, okay? They seem to be rare. And why? It's because we don't believe it or we're not willing to throw down and, yep, I'm going to still do it. Even if I miss it, I'm still going to do it, okay? James 1:22, become ye doers of the word and not hearers only, reasoning yourselves astray. And so it's easy for me to, when all of a sudden pressure's on, to stand and deliver. And you'd be like, oh man, but I have this thing I had to go do. You know, and you can find anything. Oh, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. Ah, it's good. And they're like, well, no, Yahweh's calling. He's calling for these things. Be ye doers. And to be doers, we have to be ready and we have to know what our power is and what we have been given and what we're able to do. And on those, guess what? When the axe head swam, had it ever happened before? And a piece of wood thrown over the top of it to drag it up to the top? Are you kidding me? That's absurd. It's absurd. And Yahweh's like going, yep, that's me. I can do that. I can absolutely do that. And so for us, and when we're doing those things, we can't look at it. So many times I think people want to put it into a recipe. You do this, you do this, you do this, and this is the result. And it's never that way. It's never that way because it's faith. It's the faith that does it. And it may be energizing your faith that you're doing. When Peter raised the lame man, whose faith was that?
Seeing his faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay? So it can be either or a combination. And that's where, you know, the proving to know, the discernment for what we need to do. I'm gonna do this video. Go ahead.
I bet you Peter knew about the axe head floating on the water.
Yeah.
I bet you that's one scripture, if anything. Why would you walk on water with an axe head floating on water?
Yeah, absolutely. If he did it, I'm like going, yeah. And so that's it, where we think, you know, I think to myself, what limits us? You know, a person that walk outside of a building with 100 stories underneath them. What's more, that or walking on water? What's the difference?
Yeah.
There's no difference. Zero difference in that. But in our mind, we're like, well, nobody's ever done that. Yeah, you're right. Nobody has. okay, that we know of. I mean, as far as what we've seen. But is it available? Absolutely. Absolutely. Those things are available, and Yahweh glorifies in those things. Okay, so last one here, I was going to give this guy a little bit of credit because he has some pretty motivational stuff. It's pretty simple, but I'm going to switch this over to here. Make sure the volume's up on this. It should be high enough. Okay, in just a couple of minutes here, we'll go ahead and listen to his testimony.
I have to overcome in life. But my attitude quickly changes when I'm reminded that God desires us to live a life filled with His power. And I believe that we often miss out on what God has in store for us because we miss out on the power He has given us through His Son, Jesus. One time I was in the park, and I was trying to impress my wife by jumping up on a large rock. And I ended up gashing my leg open pretty bad. And at first I thought it was just a gash, but then I ended up realizing there was something seriously wrong with my leg after a week or so when it didn't stop hurting. And one night when I was in church, the pastor called for people to come up for prayer if they needed healing. And as I sat there in the pew by myself watching other people go up to the front, I thought, well, those are the same people that go up for healing every week, so, you know, I'm not going to go up. But then in my spirit, I was reminded of what God had said about my healing in His Word. And so I got up and I went to the front, and the pastor came over and laid his hands on me and started praying. And after he prayed for a little bit, he looked up at me and said, is the pain gone? And I said, no, it's still there. And so he grabbed my leg and said, pain, leave in the name of Jesus. Go. And it kind of shocked me a little bit at first, but then immediately after that, the pain was gone. And I stepped back for a second and I started walking around back and forth to make sure it was gone, and it was gone. And he looked at me and said, is it gone? And I said, yeah. And he said, good. And the next day, I went out for a run, and the pain was still gone. But as I started to run, I thought to myself, I wonder if by me running, the pain is going to come back. And of course, since I was thinking about it that way, it did. And it started to come back for a split second. But then, again, I remembered what God had said about my healing in His Word. And so I used my words, and I spoke to my leg, and I said, leg, you are healed in Jesus' name. And again, the pain was gone, and it didn't return. Though in the Bible, Jesus often says, your faith has made you well. I wasn't healed by any power of my own. I was healed because the power of God was working inside of me. We are called to be overcomers. But when the struggles of life start to stack up against us, we feel like we have to fight back. We have to be smarter or stronger or work harder. But the truth is, God doesn't require us to overcome. Jesus already overcame for us on the cross. When He paid the price for our sins, He provided a way for us to be made overcomers through Him, through His Spirit and His power working inside of us. 2 Corinthians 12:9b says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. No matter how hard we might try, we don't have the power. God does. But He has given us access to that power through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through what He did on the cross. Zechariah 4:6b says, not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. You might say, well, I believe in God, and I believe that He has the power to heal me or to change my circumstances. But it's so hard to have the faith to live it out in real life. You want faith? Read the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. To have faith, you must hear the word, and to hear it, you've got to read it. I believed that my leg was healed because I knew the word that God had spoken about my healing. Romans 8:11 says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. I experienced the power because I knew His Word, and His Word promised me power through His Spirit. God wants to heal us, but He also wants His power to be at work in every area of our lives. He wants His power to be at work in your marriage, at your workplace, in your finances. He wants to give you a new life and a purpose. Through through his power, he wants to give you unending love and his peace, which surpasses all understanding. You and I can make promises that we don't have the ability to keep. But the great thing about God's promises is that they are always backed up by his power. I can sit here all day and tell you about his promises. But if you don't hear them directly from him, there's a good chance you won't ever see them at work in your life. There's a good chance you won't ever see his power at work in your life. The amazing thing is that God wrote down his promises, his faith-building words, so that you and I might experience his power. But we've got to read it.
I'll stop it there. Wow. Okay.
That's great.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I'm like, well, I'll give the guy some the kudos for it. It was pretty good put together.
I think he's in Kansas.
Do you?
Yeah.
You what?
Yeah, all the cicadas in the background.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll close off here and then have a word. Yahweh, we thank you for what you've given you. We thank you that that we are called to be in action and that you have spiritually armed us. Not to be bench sitters on the sideline, but to be into action and to be ready for the battles and for the things that come so that we are prepared, that we are not deceived, but that we know your words and that we put these words on us and that we devour these words, that we feast upon these words to enlighten us, encourage us, and to show you, Yahweh, to show you and your nature and what you are willing to do and what you desire to do. So we thank you for that we are walking in your path and by your desires doing what you are calling us to do. And where we fail, that we repent and that you give us second, third, fourth chances to walk into your light and do the things that you request us to do. We thank you for these things. Thank you for the words you continually give and for this upcoming week. My sons and daughters, know that as you go out, I see as a giant thumb, almost on the side of the road, as like someone hitchhiking, and your desires to pick them up or not to pick them up, and to be following within me, knowing that I will be showing you that as you go by and you are walking in spirit, that I will show you the what you need to know and where you need to stop, where you need to put your time, your energy, and where you need to pull apart from. So let me sift you. Let me sift you and let me run you through the furnaces that I may extract the dross of your life and bring about the pureness that I have in you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.